for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, September the 1st, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Can a Christian Have a Demon?
Praise God, Sister Jerry, who has proven through many years her faithfulness to God. Amen. And it's very evident and it's open. And we thank God for her and the word that God gives to her. Praise God.
Appreciate all of y'all. All I can say is God's still working on me. And I don't want him to stop. I want to get better every day. I want more of God every day. I don't want to miss any gift that he's got for me. But how many of you know that you don't get all that at once? Anyway, all of us are, nobody has arrived. Nobody's got it all.
That's right.
And we all have a part.
That's right.
And this precious, godly young man here, you can tell his mother has raised him right. Amen. Lord, we ask you to bless him in Jesus' name. Meet every need he has. Protect him from the world, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. I remember years ago teaching a seminar. Leah was there, and I think I had 40 people there, and 20 of them were kids. And oh, boy, they participated, and one little boy's daddy was committing adultery, and remember the little boy, he was up there, he was, as I was teaching, the sins of the parents passed on to the children, this little boy was up. Anyway, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the message I want to teach today is probably not, maybe not new stuff, but I know that all of, most of you that come to here, the camp, know you have a, maybe a demon problem, or maybe if that word's not palatable to you, you can say a demonic stronghold. I know my mother didn't believe in demons, but she believed in demonic strongholds. So, we know we all have areas of our life where the enemy has a foothold in our life. You know, fear's a demon. If you've got fear, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, so who has? Anger is demonic. Depression is demonic. Addictions are demonic. Bitterness, you know, you can get bitter or better by what you go through, and I choose to get better. Bitterness will absolutely kill you, and so we don't want that in our life. And God wants us to always be overcoming, and he says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's won the victory at Calvary. As Nikki said, if you didn't have something to overcome, you couldn't be an overcomer.
That's right.
Right? We all have things to overcome. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have something to overcome. And if you don't think you do, you really have a problem. You really need to get set free. But really the message that the Lord, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and then after I did it, I thought, I don't know about this message, but anyway, God knows, and he can change it if he wants to, whatever he wants to do. I don't even care if he, if I need to make a fool out of myself, it's okay, because that's what the devil's been telling me today. Because I thought, I'm not getting with it, but you know what? God's the one that's going to anoint. But the title of the message is, Can a Christian Have a Demon?
Yeah.
And I told Randy the title last night. He said, yeah, you can have as many as you want. And that's true. Sin opens you up to demons. And a lot of times, maybe, a lot of us were born with a lot of bondage because of the generational dysfunction of our forefathers, because of what's gone on in the generations before us. We're born with stuff. We're born with strongholds. propensities toward evil, toward perversion, toward addictions. And praise God, He wants to set us free. I thank God for deliverance, for the deliverance that I've had in my life. And I tell you, today there'll be more deliverance, tomorrow will be more deliverance, and I want to keep on getting delivered. Because when you do, you change from glory to glory and go from strength to strength. Amen? And so everything you go through, how you respond to it will depend on if you become bitter or better. And so I don't want to be bitter. I want to be better. And I've lost my message here, but I'll find it. Praise God. But I just kind of thought I needed to do this because some people come here believing that, you know, you need deliverance, or some people come, they don't understand deliverance, and I just thought maybe just going through some scriptures would encourage people that deliverance is a valid ministry for today. Amen. You know, deliverance didn't stop when Jesus quit casting demons out of people, because a third of the New Testament was in deliverance, Jesus casting demons out of people in the New Testament. And He's given to us disciples a commission to heal the sick, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, freely we receive, freely we give. I mean, He gives us that commission. And so, you know, there's even church denominations, I mean, just different ones that I know of, one or two particular denominations that if you're in deliverance, they kick you out of the association. And see, that's just a religious spirit. The Pharisees are still around. You know, they told Jesus that He was casting demons out by Beelzebub. And so Christians can have a demon. If sin is behind why we need deliverance, the sins we've committed that we haven't repented of, the sins that have been committed against us where we've held unforgiveness and we've let the sun go down on our anger because of generational iniquities of the forefathers. And so hopefully just the scriptures that we share today will clear up any misconceptions about the validity of the deliverance ministry. And thank God for all the gifts of the Spirit. I want every one of them. I desire so much to have a prophetic gift like Nikki has, or like some of you have. And I know God will give it when He wants me to have it. But there's not any gifts that I want them all. In fact, I've probably been kind of selfish wanting them all. But God wants to give them all to us, and He will. And the word demon and demons appear in the New American Standard Bible 70 times, and the word evil spirit 21 times. In the King James, the word devil or devils are used instead of demons. It's used 80 times. If you look up the word spirit or spirits in the New Testament, the word spirit or spirits in the King James, it's over 100 times. The word deliver appears in the King James 296 times, and in the New American Standard Bible 196 times, and deliverance appears in New American Standard 21 times. In 61 times in the New Testament, 61 times Jesus directly or indirectly cast out demons. And no one ever had the authority to cast out demons until Jesus came. And He said to us disciples, "Behold, I've given you, disciples, authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure you." So we don't have to be afraid of demons. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. You know, sometimes people think, well, you know, they can't bind principalities and powers when God tells us we can bind the devil, and the devil is over the principalities and powers. And so God has given us that authority, and praise God. In 2 Corinthians, it says that our weapons are not worldly but mighty to God for the smashing down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The word demon-possessed in the King James is an incorrect translation. The word is demoni,
which means to have a demon or to be under the mastery of a demon or under the control of a demon, but it doesn't mean demon possession, because demon, even though it uses the word demon possession, a Christian cannot be possessed by the devil, because that implies ownership. We're owned by Jesus, but we can have a demon. It would kind of be like if you go on vacation, or you leave your house and a thief brings into your house. They don't own your house. They take possession of your house. It's the same with, say, a believer, perish the thought. The Bible says no drunk's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you claim to be a believer and you're a drunk, I mean, and you're a drunkard, the Bible says you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a one-time drink. And, of course, I don't drink and I don't believe in drinking. And I don't think if you ever take a drink, you ever have to worry about being an alcoholic. If I liked alcohol like I've liked food, I might have a problem. And so I praise God. But it's the same with drugs. A believer, in fact, probably big percentage of you that are here are on some kind of medication, legal medication, and you're under the influence of that medication. It's the same with alcohol. The alcohol doesn't own you, although the Bible says whatever controls you becomes your master. But it has an influence over your life. It is the same with drugs. And God doesn't want, He tells us to be sober and alert for the purpose of prayer. And we're not to be letting anything take us over. And would you say Mary, called Magdalene, was a believer? You'd say that. It says in Luke chapter 8, a certain woman which had been healed. Notice a lot of times when Jesus heals somebody, the demons leave, and sometimes when the demons leave, a person's healed. I personally believe that demons are behind sickness. It says, and certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven demons. And I thought she did pretty good just to have seven. I think deliverance is a part of the sanctification process. You know, you have a problem, you ask God to show you the root of it, you deal with it, you get delivered. Just give yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And basically, in doing self-deliverance, 99% of the deliverance that I've gotten in the last 50 years, over 50 years, 55 years of being a Christian, has just been doing self-deliverance, just repenting of my sin. And I used to sit under a teacher called Milton Green, and he'd say, hedge down, sick 'em. In other words, when you're walking uprightly before the Lord, you're safe. You let the hedge down, and hey, you're a target for the enemy. And so I thank the Lord for what He taught me in deliverance, that demons were behind why we need deliverance. And the sad thing is a lot of deliverance ministers don't know that. I thank God for this camp, because every teacher here teaches repentance. In fact, if you're not hearing repentance, you're not hearing from the Lord. Because it talks about taking people bloodshed, how the priest, because of the priest, and because they're not teaching the word of God, they're taking people bloodshed. People are believers that sit under teaching that doesn't conform them to godliness are taking bloodshed because they're not being delivered, because they're not being taught to repent of their sin. In Matthew 18, it says, when we don't forgive, we're turned over to the tormentors. And that's demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor is a jailer that stretches someone out on a rack and tortures them till he gets what they want. In Matthew 18:21, it says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts to his slaves. When he had begun to settle the accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents, which is about $18, was brought to him. But since he did not have the money to repay, his Lord handed him over. The Lord commanded that he be sold along with his wife and his children. So you see how unforgiveness even affects the family of the daddy or the mother. And all that he had be sold and repayment be made. So the slave fell down on the ground and prostrated himself, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of the debt. But that slave went out and found a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. The first guy owed like $10 million, and this guy owes $18. 100 denarii is about $18. And he seized him and choked him and began to say, "Pay back what you owe." And that would be like God forgave us for more than $10 million. So I go and find Leah and I say, "Leah, you owe me $18. Isn't that ridiculous? How God forgives us for $10 million debt, and then we go find someone that owes us $18 and we choke her and throw her in jail. And when we don't forgive someone concerning us, we put them in a spiritual prison concerning us. It says, then his fellow slave fell down on the ground and began pleading with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I'll repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. And when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and they came and they reported to their Lord what had happened. It'd be like, you saw what I did to Leah, so you go and tell the Lord on me. And then, summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt when you pleaded with me. So should you have not forgiven your fellow slave the same way as I've had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers, that's the demons that inflict pain, the pain of disease, until he should repay all that was owed him. I want to say something else about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a sin that will keep you out of heaven. If you don't forgive, Jesus isn't going to forgive you. It says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Now, Jesus was talking to Peter. So we get turned over to the tormentors until we repay. And the tormentors will end up making you sick. And so that's why it's so important to get rid of the bitterness and the unforgiveness in your life. And if you've got a physical problem, we all have, I'm not saying we all, but I know I have a few little things that I need to get fixed, like my eyes, and they're getting better in Jesus' name. But behind it is sin. Behind it is unforgiveness. You can be repentant of everything you know, but there's lots of stuff you don't know or you don't even remember. And so these are opportunities for the Lord to show you what you have yet needed to be forgiven for. In Matthew 5, God tells us to make friends with our opponent with him while we're with him on the way, lest he turn us over to the judge, and the judge is God, and the officer is the demon, and the prison is a spiritual prison. So anytime it says, "And you will not come out of that spiritual prison," in Matthew 5, until you pay up the last sin. In other words, until you forgive, you'll stay in a spiritual prison. Ephesians 4 says, "When you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a foothold to the devil." And you remember when David reminded me of this when we're talking, coming down here. Remember how Jesus rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he was addressing the devil in Peter. Ephesians 4 says, if you let the sun go down on your anger, you give the devil a foothold in your life. So look how many times we've let the sun go down on our anger, and we don't even think about it sometimes. But when a problem comes up, you know, our ears are more open to listen to what God has to say to us. Proverbs 17:11, and I'm going to quote some scriptures from the Old Testament. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, all scripture is given for reproof, for correction. I never can say this or not. Correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully approved. Anyway, all scripture is given by God, inspiration by God. In Luke chapter, I don't know this verse, but it says, Jesus said, oh, you foolish man and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, if you teach that the Old Testament is not important, you'll be least in the kingdom of God. I found that most everything that's in the Old Testament, you can find in the New Testament. Different wording, but it fits. In Psalms 107, it says there were those who dwelt in darkness and misery in a prison because they had rebelled against the Most High God. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Paul said, your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. In James chapter 3, it says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. How many people are jealous? That's a demon. My friend Milton Green said, they say I see a demon behind every bush. She said, I see 500. But a demon can't get to you unless there's a legal right. And I don't sit one behind every bush, but I can tell you so many things are demonic that we just blow off. Because pride is the character and nature of Satan, it brings us in bondage. In Jeremiah 13:15, it says, listen and give heed. Do not be haughty, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness and before you stumble on the dusky mountains. And while you're hoping for light, he makes it into deep darkness and turns it into gloom. But if you do not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride, and my eyes will bitterly weep and flow down with tears because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive. In Lamentations 1:10, it says, and the adversary has stretched out his hand over all her precious things, for she has seen the nations, which is the type of demons, to enter her sanctuary, the ones whom you commanded that they should not enter into your congregation. Lamentations 4:12. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem, which is the type of the temple of the Lord. Lamentations 4:13, because of the priests, and I mentioned this a while ago, because of the sins of the prophets and the iniquities of the priests, we have shed in her midst the blood of the righteous. And the way they do that is they don't deal with sin. And there's so many false prophets out there teaching fanning your glory with the dust and the gold and all this kind of stuff. And I can tell you, if there's no holiness, there's no righteousness, entertaining the host of heaven, you know who that is? There are prophets that entertain the host of heaven. Hey, they're entertaining demons and don't even know it. One of these prophets, he was talking about fanning your glory, and he said, there's a highway and the sinners can get on it. And I emailed this prophet, and I said, brother, you're leading people astray, because the Bible says that a fool, no lying, no fool, no unclean can get on the highway of holiness. He said, yes, you just don't understand. Maybe if they got on there, they'd change. He said, I'm taking you off my email list, and I wasn't even on it anyway. I was reading the Elijah list, and let me just tell you, be careful of the Elijah list. 99% of it is witchcraft. Some of these people and some of the dingbat things they say, it's Lamentations 4. In fact, the other day I had a precious lady call me, and she's a godly lady, and she was saying, I tell you, I went to a meeting, and two prophets, me and my friend, we've been under such attack. We've almost had head-on collisions. We're sick. Our husbands have lost their jobs. We're financially broke. We've had to give up our house. I mean, this wasn't just a little attack of the enemy. I mean, this was destruction. And so I began to talk to her, and I said, well, what have you been involved in? And because a curse without a cause cannot lie. And she just started telling me. I said, have you ever been out to such and such place? Well, yeah. Have you ever been over here? Yeah. All these places where they had been going, they were into all kinds of heresy, false doctrine. And if I name the places, it's probably places that maybe y'all are familiar with. And so I don't want to do that. But let me tell you something. A test is that they're not teaching holiness, that they're not teaching repentance. The scripture says that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If they're not teaching you that, can I tell you that you're not hearing from God?
Amen.
And so be careful. Personally, I don't see in the scripture where gold dust falls down or diamonds or jewels hit the floor. I don't see that. I mean, I'll change it. If you show me in the Word, but I just don't see that. To me, that's ministering before people's faces, idolatry. And so this is taking people bloodshed. But anyway, as I started talking to her and telling her about all these places, asking her about these places that she'd been, she'd let people lay hands on her. And the first mistake she made was that when that prophet told her she was going to have destruction hit her life, her and her friend accepted it. Remember Derek Prince on one of his messages that he was doing deliverance, and a witch said, you're going to have a car wreck, and he said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Had he received that, he would have had a car wreck. So don't receive words like that from people. Just, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But you know, sometimes when you don't know the Word of God, you'll believe everything that comes down the pipe. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So God wants you to be sober. He don't want you to be out on the floor. Not that you can't come under the power, but you don't need somebody to push you down. If God knocks you down, fine. But God tells you to be sober. And if you're out like a sprayed cockroach for 3 hours on the floor, you're not too sober. I've been places where that's what it looked like. I went up to Toronto, for example. I mean, in earlier years, I went every place I thought God was because I didn't want to miss nothing. And I went to a lot of places, and I saw that a lot of those places were just wasn't the Lord. In fact, some of those prophets, one of them, a real well-known prophet back in the 1980s, Paul Kane, homosexual. So, to me, God's prophets are going to live a holy, clean life. Another prophet that's dead, I don't know if Paul Kane is dead, but another one, a man named Bob Jones was making women undress while he prophesied over them. So be careful. In Joel 2:9, it says, they rush on the city, they run on the wall, they climb into houses, they enter through windows like a thief. Now I'm wondering if that could be Windows 10. I don't know, but you know, the whole book of Joel is about Joel's army, and we're taught that that's an army of Christians coming in the last days. If you examine the whole book of Joel, you'll see that it's an army of demons. They enter into windows like a thief. You know, there was a woman who was a daughter of Abraham, and Jesus said she had a demon that for 18 years she had been afflicted by a demon. In Luke 13:10, And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a demon. And she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. You know, I see so many people bent over, especially when they get even younger than me, but get my age, you see them bent over and bowed down. And it's because of demonic spirits working in their lives. You know, if you don't deal with the stuff that goes on, we put up with the stuff in our life. God wants all the stuff in our life gone. He wants the anger gone, the bitterness gone, the fear gone, the depression gone. We're going to be overcomers. We've got to overcome those things. But anyway, she was bent over for 18 years because of a demon. Satan had bound her. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." Now, he was freeing her from her sickness. See how deliverance and healing are interrelated? And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And that's what we do when we get healed, and we glorify God, not glorify a person. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Now there's the religious man cropping up. He didn't like it. Jesus healed on the Sabbath and began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. So come and get healed on those days and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered and said, "You hypocrite." You know, he was real, he didn't want to hurt their feelings, but he called them, "You hypocrite." "Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and take him for water? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should she not have been released from her bonds on the Sabbath day?" And he said this, as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the great things that God had done. "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound, these 18 long years, should she have not been released from her bond on the Sabbath?" As she was a daughter of Abraham, and that's a type and shadow of a Christian. So who is the daughter of Abraham? Romans 9:6 says, but it is not as though the word of God failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Nor are they all children because of they are Abraham's descendants. And through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of promise are regarded as descendants. So we are the children of Abraham in the spiritual. Therefore, in Galatians 3:7, "Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are of the sons of Abraham. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for they are all one in Christ." And basically, God's telling us too that our carton isn't where it's at. I mean, I might have a girl carton and you might have a boy carton, but it's the Spirit of God. Neither Jew nor Greek nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Now Zacchaeus, you remember he was up in the tree when he, this little bitty guy, and he couldn't see Jesus, and Jesus told him to come down. Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham. He was bloodline Jew. But it says Zacchaeus stopped
and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half my possessions I will give to the poor." He was a tax collector. "And if I have defrauded anything of anyone, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to your house, because he too is the son of Abraham." So Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham, but he became a son of Abraham that day when he came to the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." The children's bread is for the children. In Mark chapter 7, it says, "But after hearing of him, a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came out and fell at his feet." Now the woman was a Gentile, which was the type of the dog, a lost person, of a Syrophoenician race, and kept on asking that Jesus cast the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first. In other words, I used to couldn't understand why Jesus would want to turn her away. But what he was saying is deliverance is for God's children, not for the lost. Because if the devil, in other words, to cast a demon out of a lost person, the lost person is owned by Satan. When we belong to Jesus, we're owned by Jesus. And he said to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." In other words, it's not good to give deliverance to a lost person, is what Jesus was saying. But she answered and said to him, and I think she came to the Lord because she said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the table." All she was asking for was a crumb of deliverance. And Jesus told her that he'd never seen such faith. You know, it's by faith we're saved. And he said, "Go, the demon has gone out of your daughter." The interesting thing to me was that the daughter wasn't even there. Jesus wanted the demon out of her. I mean, she wanted the demon out of her daughter, and she came to Jesus, and he said, "Go home. The demon has gone out of your daughter." Hallelujah. And dogs are types of the lost persons, lost people. In Revelation 22:4, it says, 22:14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, they may enter into the gates of the city." Outside of heaven are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral people, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. So I used to tell my little granddaughter when she was little, I would call her. She was about 2 years old, and I'd say, "Holly, are you still sucking your thumb?" And she'd say, "No." I'd say, "Holly, liars go to hell." I said, "You're supposed to say, 'Grandmother, I'm working on it.'" And so the next time I called her, I said, "Holly, are you still sucking your thumb?" And she said, "Grandmother, I'm working on it." And her mother said, "Yes, she's working on it, all right." In Hebrews 2, it says that Jesus delivered us from the fear of death that subjects us to slavery our whole life. See, if you fear dying physically, that subjects you to slavery. But it's also you fear dying to your flesh. You want your own way. And so that subjects you to slavery your whole life. Unforgiveness, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Whom forgive so that Satan won't take an advantage of you." So he gets advantage when you don't forgive. Paul had an evil spirit. Now some people said, you know, he had an eye problem. Some said he had this problem. Whatever he had, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Because of the passing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself." And so deliverance is a holy work. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 says, "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him. So the mute man spoke and saw. And the crowds were amazed, and they were saying, 'This man could not be the son of David, can he?' And when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'This man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons.' And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, 'Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you.'" When a demon leaves a person, the kingdom of God comes on that person. It says, "Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So he's talking about deliverance. So we're either gathering or scattering. People that don't teach repentance, they're scattering people, scattering the sheep. Jesus gathered the sheep. And that's one way he gathers them, is through deliverance. "Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against my Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come." And then Jesus calls them in Matthew 12:34, "Brood of vipers." They're speaking against Jesus. It says, "By your words," in verse 35, "by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified." And Jesus said, "Greater works will we do because he goes to the Father." So he wants his power in us to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to preach the gospel. It's Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. So he gets all the glory because it's him working through us. And as we're disciples, he's commissioned us. Would you say that the last thing that Jesus spoke before he was resurrected into heaven would be an important thing? This is what he says in Matthew 28:18. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me under heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do, for lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world.'" So he said, teach people, make disciples, and teach them what I've taught you to do. Okay, go to Matthew 10, verse 1. "Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." And you know, I just want to say something. I'm asking God, I'm missing something. Because we're supposed to be healing people that we pray for. And so I'm asking God to work in me whatever I'm missing, and all of us, so that we can be the effective ministers that God wants us to be. Matthew 10:8 says, he says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give."
And they went out. As they went out, a mute, demon-possessed man was brought to him in Matthew chapter 9. And the demon was cast out. When the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed, and they were saying, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out, and the boy was cured at once. And then he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that they could send him out to the people to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And that's something that needs to be preached. If you're sitting in a church that's not teaching you to repent, you need to find another church, if you can find one nowadays. Most churches don't even teach repentance. You know, I told my son the other day, I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I prayed for a church that was teaching the Word. After I attended Milton Green Seminar, I saw that the churches weren't teaching the Word of God. And I prayed for a church that was teaching the Word of God. And I told my son the other day, I said, "You know, finally, after all these years, I'm in the church that I've been praying for. So I thank God that I can attend a church that's teaching repentance." Mark chapter 6, "And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents." And I don't recommend we do that, but, you know, Satan's a serpent. "And pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll not hurt them. And they will heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they might recover." They will recover. So, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for unbelief and doubt. Remove all the unbelief and doubt from our lives so that we believe everything that your word says.
Yes, God, thank you.
So then when the Lord Jesus had in Matthew 16, verse 19, "And when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God the Father." So those were the last things that Jesus said do when he left this earth. Praise God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus came to set us free, but we need to realize we need to get free. Somebody has said you can't disciple a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. You've got to die to the flesh. Luke 9:1. "And he called the 12 together and gave them authority over all the demons and to heal diseases." And he said, well, now that's for the disciples. That was for the 12 disciples. Luke 10:1. "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 other disciples," little baby disciples, first time they were ever out. "And he sent them out in pairs ahead of him to every city and every place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord the harvest to send out laborers to the harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." He wasn't saying he was sending them out as wolves. He was sending them out as innocent people in the midst of demon-possessed people. "And to heal those that are in it, who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter, do not, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to your feet, we wipe off
in protest against you. And the one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. Now, I just want to say something. You know, there are people that reject you, and if we've rejected people, if you're rejecting God's child, you're rejecting Jesus. It says, but the one who listens to me will listen to you. The 70 disciples returned saying, with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Now, these were first time out baby disciples. I want to say something about God's authority. You know what? If a man went out on the freeway, maybe if a pretty lady with a short skirt on was out there, a trucker would stop. But if I had on, if we had on, any of us had on a Arkansas State Trooper uniform, we could just go up there, and when that truck come, we'd just stop, back up, go over this way. The point I'm trying to make is not the what's in the suit, it's being dressed up in Jesus. When we are dressed up in Jesus, submitted to His Lordship, it's Jesus Christ's authority, and that's what the demons recognize, Jesus, not us. But these baby disciples, first time out, were excited. They came back. They rejoiced that the demons were subject to them. And Jesus said, and He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you, baby disciples, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Heaven, recorded in heaven. And then at that very instant, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Ghost, and He said, He turned to the Father now, from the disciples, He turned to the Father, and He said, O Father, I rejoice, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. And I'm telling you, most of the wise and intelligent don't receive it, and have revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the hour, knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal it to. He turns back to the disciples, and He says privately, blessed are your eyes which you see the things you see. So we can say, blessed are your eyes because you see. Amen? That's a good verse for eye healed, getting your eyes healed. Spiritual eyes, too. Luke 10:24, and I say to you that many kings and priests wish to see the things you see, baby disciples, and they do not see them, and to hear the things you hear and do not hear them. Now in Acts 6, you're going to see that the disciples were increasing in numbers. In Acts 6, it says, Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, so you see now it's more than 12, it was 40 baby disciples, and now the disciples are increasing in number. And then in Acts 6:2, it talks about a congregation of disciples. Acts 11:26, it says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, so don't believe the lie that you're not a disciple if Jesus is your Lord. Disciple has to do with being disciplined by the Lord, letting the Lord discipline you. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, because you have love for one another. If you say you're a disciple and you don't love God's people, you're not a disciple, because Jesus, God is love. And so this should encourage us that Jesus wants to set us free. You know, some of you have been here, and for years you've confessed the same sin over and over and over, and it's been a struggle, and you've been saying, oh Lord, I'll never do it again, and you do it again. You're in bondage. You need to get those strongholds broken in your life. You know, I used to feel guilty because my parents taught me that the Lord helped those that help themselves. How many of you were taught that?
Not many? I guess that was at old school, right? My daddy would be about 100 now if he was still alive. And I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. And then one day I realized that Jesus helped those that admitted they were helpless. That was the only ones he could help. And that was good news. It was good news to me that some of the problems that I was having, that I was trying to break, some of the strongholds, was a demonic thing and that I could get free from it. I don't want to go back, not even one day in my life, because next time I might not make it. I've had to overcome a whole lot. And of course, I haven't lived through anything like others, a lot of people have gone through. But you know, everything you go through, God knows exactly what He needs to put you through or allow you to go through to give you victory. And He don't put more in you than you can take. Even though you may think He does sometimes. And Satan doesn't have the power to keep you from Jesus. Your will is stronger than any demon. You can exercise authority over him. And here's four keys to get free. Is recognize you need help. Have a repentant heart. Ask God to change your mind toward God and toward your sin. Repent to God and others. It says in Matthew chapter 5:23, if you bring your gift to the altar, you go to pray, and you remember there your brother has something against you, you're to go to your brother, get right with him, then bring your gift to the altar. The other day, there's a person in my life that I want to go to, but I've gone so many times and they won't listen or they won't respond. And I said, David, do you think I ought to go again? He said, Grandmother, you've already gone so many times, I don't think you need to go again. But see, my heart still is to go. And I want to do that. But I don't want to put a band-aid on a spiritual problem. And so I'm asking the Lord, because I'm willing. My heart wants to do that. But if it's not received, it's like, oh no, just, you know, here we go again. So Lord, give me wisdom to know what you want me to do. So it says, if you bring your gift to the altar, you remember there that your brother has aught against you. You don't have nothing against him, but your brother has aught against you, or you could have something against him. You're to go to your brother, get right with him, then come bring your gift to the altar. The Lord made me, when I first discovered that scripture years ago, the Lord made me go to some people that I didn't want to do it. My husband was president of a bank, and he was having a private banking meeting, and he said if somebody calls, one of the other board members they'd shut out. If he calls, tell him I'm not here. And so when he called, I said, well, he's gone, and I wouldn't tell him where he was. And anyway, I was convicted. The Lord made me call him and tell him I didn't tell him the truth. Another lady, the Lord made me vote this lady, and I said, would you please forgive me for not loving you like I should? She said, well, I wondered when you were going to wake up. And see, right there would be another cause to get in another fight. And I just said, well, just forgive me for not loving you like I should. So, God wants us to practice that. And then renounce the lies of Satan, because for every bondage you're in, you've believed a lie. Wherever you believe a lie, you're in bondage. Because it's the truth that sets you free. Amen? So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you if any bondages that need to be broken in your life, or any areas, any strongholds, any places where the devil has set up in your life and you've confessed your sin over and over and over. You've told him you're sorry. You've told him you'll never do it again. And you turn right around and do it again. It's a demonic stronghold. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I want you to offer that up to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, show me what I need to repent of to break these strongholds once and for all in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, everybody pray, I ask, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. And then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then if you'll sit down, then we'll do deliverance. And pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that the weapons of my warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds. In the name of Jesus, I smash down, and I want you to name the stronghold of bondage that the Lord showed you. I smash down the stronghold of gluttony or whatever it is in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, smash down your stronghold. I cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I take captive in Jesus' name every thought to the obedience of Christ. I punish every disobedience because my obedience is complete in Jesus' name. Now I tear down those strongholds. I break the power of every lying spirit in Jesus' name. I tear down every stronghold of unbelief and doubt. I break the power of bondage, of gluttony, self-indulgence, overindulgence, hunger, fat, food, sugar. I tear down in the name of Jesus addictions to drugs, addictions to pornography. I tear down strongholds of adultery, fornication, sexual immorality, perversion, masturbation. I tear down strongholds of lewdness, wanton spirits, strongholds of in the eyes. In the name of Jesus, I tear down strongholds of blindness. I tear down strongholds of pride. I tear down strongholds of hatred, variance, strife, emulation, unforgiveness, torture, torment. I tear down strongholds of anger, bitterness, resentment, hostility, murder. In the name of Jesus, we tear down strongholds of variance, strife, jealousy, envy, selfish ambition. In the name of Jesus, we tear down strongholds of pride, religious spirits. We tear down strongholds of Pharisees. In the name of Jesus, we tear down the stronghold that's wanting everybody to be like us. We tear down that stronghold in the name of Jesus. We tear down strongholds of comparison in the name of Jesus. Strongholds of criticism, judgmentalism, self-importance. We tear down strongholds of haughtiness, arrogance, boastfulness in the name of Jesus. We tear down strongholds of lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. In Jesus' name, we tear down all these strongholds. We tear down every stronghold that would block us from having victory. We tear down strongholds of lies and lying, rebellion, antichrist, Jezebel. We tear down strongholds of Ahab. Strongholds of fear of man, fear of failure, fear. We tear down strongholds of depression. We tear down strongholds of discouragement. In the name of Jesus, we tear down strongholds of self-pity, martyr spirits, in Jesus' name. We tear down strongholds of negativity, in the name of Jesus. We cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I take a deep breath and just blow out. Every demonic spirit has to leave now. We tear down strongholds of cancer. We break the power of prostate cancer. We break the power of cancer, skin cancer, go, blindness, cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. We tear down strongholds of witchcraft in Jesus' name. We tear down strongholds of mind control in Jesus' name. Divination in Jesus' name. We tear down every stronghold. We tear down every lying spirit in Jesus' name that would block the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for the name of Jesus. The name is higher than any other name. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you spoil principalities and powers, making an open show of them at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Now, you're a disciple, so God wants each of us to heal the sick, preach the gospel, lead people to the Lord, raise the dead, cast out demons, prophesy words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Lord, give us all those gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, fill me with love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for Patty. Thank you for Kevin. Thank you for Linda. Lord, thank you for Rick. Thank you for Dan and Crystal. God, thank you for those precious children. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you, Lord, that all of our problems you've already got all solved, Lord. We thank you that you're so smart, you know exactly what we need and who we need and when we need it, if we need it, when to give it. We thank you that you're a healing Jesus. We thank you that you're our Savior, our Lord, our King, our God. We thank you that we know you in this dark world, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll turn the light of our life on brighter and brighter every day that we live, that we might be a city on a hill not to be hidden, in Jesus' name. Let our lives so shine before you, Lord, and before men, that they glorify you and glorify your Father, our Father who's in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Did I bless the food already? God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.